Thank you for allowing us to worship together in your house today. We thank you for the cool weather and reminding us how much you love us and the world. Lord, there are so many that need your guidance. So, Father, I would ask that you give them the comfort and support they need, and to remind them that you are the ultimate healer. Now, Father, as we begin this worship service, please open our hearts and minds to your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus, welcome to each and every one of you here this morning. It's good to be singing here on this bright and beautiful Lord's Day. First Sunday of this year's fall season. And I think it's going to be like fall out there. The temperature is going to be dropping. We'll be in the mid-70s all next week. And thank God for that. So, I wish you a good morning, and also a good morning to Bill and Reba, if you're listening to us. Hope you are on our FM radio station this morning. This is the Sunday that we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries for this particular month. This month of September, birthdays are in your bulletin there. Barbara DeVries is on the 10th, Judy Berry, the 18th. I'll call your attention to at the top of your bulletin. It says, bring non-perishable food items to Birth United Christian
Ministries.
Pastor and I took what we had up to Birth United Christian Ministries this past Friday. And I added it to my spreadsheet. I'm keeping a running total of what has been taken up to Birth United Christian Ministries and credited to Zion Memorial since November the 10th last year. We have 3,277 pounds of non-perishable food items. That's 3,277 pounds of non-perishable food items. We've had 2 bags of clothing and shoes, and another bag, 20 pounds of clothing, that's been taken to Birth United Christian Ministries. Now I'll post this list out on the out in the narthex so that you can see it for yourself. Okay. Administrative Board Meeting, October the 7th. It's a Friday. October the 7th at 10 a.m. This will be in preparation for our annual charge conference. We'll be looking at the budget for the coming year. We'll be looking at the committee list for the coming year. And we'll be approving those two to be passed on to our charge conference, which is November the 13th. That will give us plenty of time to get all that information keyed into the computer. But that's the way they want us to do it nowadays. We used to hand them a stack of paper, but they don't want to do that anymore. They want us all keyed into a computer. So that's what we're attempting to do and what we'll get done. Okay, are there any other announcements, anything anyone would like to share with us this morning?
Jerry?
Yes.
There is going to be in Gastonia on October the 4th, I just got word of that, about that, for secretaries to get a refresher course or get some training in those forms. So if there's anyone that would like to go, Pam said she may be not here. So we'll have to get somebody to take over for her that day.
Okay. October the 4th, a secretary training course.
And if anybody wants to attend, I'll send in their name tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So if you'd like to go and learn what secretaries do or supposed to do.
With conference forms.
October 4th At the district office in Gastonia. Okay, anything else anyone would like to share with us this morning? If not, let's now turn our attention to our prayer board. And I'll share with you that I talked to Freddie Williams yesterday. And George is very weak. And they're looking at transferring him to rehab. And they're calling him hospice. Gail needs some help. She's trying to stay with him every step of the way, but she's just exhausted herself. Freddie is there with her, helping her, doing all that he can. But George is just real weak. He needs to rest. And hopefully, he'll regain some of his strength so that he can get back on his chemotherapy. He hasn't been able to take any of his chemotherapy lately, so please, please be much in prayer for George and Gail Williams. Are there others that we need to add to our prayer list this morning? Yes, Doris.
This is some folks over at Bollinger's. Some of you may know them. Bruce Weaver, he's supposed to have an angiogram this Wednesday, but his daughter Heather said that could get postponed because his blood sugar is really high. And then Heather Coswell, she's got some health issues going on right now too.
Bruce Weaver and Heather Weaver Coswell. Maxine and I know Bruce. We've known Bruce for a long time. He and our son Todd were real good friends. And we need to let Bruce and his wife, well, his daughter,
Heather.
Mm-hmm. In prayer. Bruce and Heather Weaver Carson. Are there others we need to lift up this morning? Okay, Pastor Taylor.
Can say personally that I'm really happy that there's been a decrease in warm weather. Jerry mentioned those that need the Lord's help and prayers, and without further ado, let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Lord, we are so blessed to be able to meet You together as a church family and praise You this morning. In a world full of violence, hatred, and despair, we are so grateful to have Your Son as our Savior. Lord, You have heard the concerns of Your people, as well as those that have not been made aware to the congregation. You know and see all, so I would ask that You place Your healing hand on them and grant them the support they need. Please bless us as we continue this service, and remind us that nothing is feasible without Your guidance and love. And now, Father, 2,000 years ago, the disciples asked Your Son, Lord, how do we pray? And He told us to say these words.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Let us stand now as we sing Rescue the Perishing, verses 1, 2, and 4.
as we all share in the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 881 in your hymnal.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be saved.
Let there be peace.
And we always got caught, or at least I did. And so, to give you some idea of where I'm coming from this sermon, let's say it's a beautiful day in December, Christmas is around the corner, and there's a young boy he cannot wait for Christmas to come so he can spend it with his family, and he needs Santa. Because he's been a good boy, he's got good grades, and he thinks he's earned something as a reward. So right after supper, he is going to watch his favorite TV show, and he smells something cooking in the kitchen. And so he goes to check, and his mom made chocolate chip cookies, his favorite. And if it's like anything with my grandmother and me, if I were to reach out and get something, I'd get the, nope, don't touch that. That's for tomorrow. And so he's like, all right. But then as he's leaving, he's thinking, wait a minute. I've been a good boy this year. I deserve something. Why should I wait for tomorrow for something I love? And so when his parents, when everyone's asleep in the house, his parents are sleeping, he walks down to the kitchen, sneaks downstairs. As all kids do, they start scheming. And he goes and takes three cookies and eats them. And so as he's finished, he's thinking, wait a minute, Mom will know I took cookies. So what does he do? He takes one and leaves it in his brother's room, his younger brother's room, to avoid suspicion. Well, come that morning, mother finds there are cookies missing and accuses her son, who then accuses his brother. And when the mom goes to the brother's room, she finds a cookie on his table. And so his brother is near tears, wondering what his punishment will be. And the boy is feeling guilty. He's thinking, do I come clean right now and let my conscience be at peace? Or do I be silent and let my brother take the blame for something he didn't do? And we see this so often today in our world. It seems that people try to get out of things by one of two ways. They lie or they lie. And we see this countless times in the news where criminals flee from the police because they don't want to go back to jail, or when politicians are caught in scandals but feign ignorance and try to act like the victims. I look at all these instances and ask myself, what does the Bible say about this? The Good Book is full of wonderful stories that lift people up and fill them with hope and encouragement. But one of the best stories, I think, is that of Jonah. To give a little background of the book of Jonah, Jonah was one of the 12 minor prophets. The minor prophets included Malachi, Haggai, and Obadiah, and they each had a book in the Old Testament. Jonah was a young man who was tasked by God to act as his messenger. He would speak to Jonah and tell him which town to travel to, and what message to bring the people. And things went well for quite a while. They had a good relationship. But one day, God asked Jonah to travel to the city of Nineveh and deliver its king a message. Now, Nineveh was a city full of wickedness and sin, and Jonah was sure that he would be killed if he went there. So, instead of following God's order, he ran. He tried to run from God and hide from God. He decided to get on a boat and flee to the city of Tarshish, which was on the other side of the world and would take weeks to get to. But on the ship, we all know this story, on the ship, there's a terrible storm that rocks the ship back and forth. And Jonah, knowing this is God's, the work of God, tells the sailors to toss him overboard, hoping that it'll calm the storm and God will stop being angry at him. But it doesn't go the way he plans as he gets swallowed by a whale, or as it says in the Bible, a great fish. And after spending 3 days and three nights, Jonah cries out to God to rescue him. God agrees, the whale spits him out, and then he promises to follow God's commandment and travel to Nineveh. And we all know how the story ends. But the point I want to stress is this. Jonah was a smart man and a great messenger, but he made the careless mistake of thinking he could run from God. We all know that God is everywhere and can see everything we do. We also know that his word is to be obeyed, even if we disagree with it. In Deuteronomy, we read that we must walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. That's Deuteronomy 5:33. We know that while on their way to the promised land, the Israelites continuously went against God's teachings, even at one point constructing a golden calf and worshiping it because they had lost faith in God. It was because of these foolish decisions that their entrance to the land was delayed by many years. And eventually the people repented and were able to enter. Now thinking about a quote about facing the music in today's time, I'm sure many of you remember Carly Fiorina. She was the former Hewlett-Packard CEO and presidential candidate in 2016. And she once said, "If you take unacceptable risks, you have to be prepared to face the consequences." Read that one more time. If you take unacceptable risks, you have to be prepared to face the consequences. Just like the little boy was when he took the cookies. He knew whether he told or not, if he told the truth or not, he would be found out. And he was, and I don't think he was prepared to take the consequence, but he should have, as we all should be. When I think of that quote, the first person that pops into my head is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent to help save humanity and teach them the ways of his Father, knowing full well what his ultimate fate would be in the end. He saved and healed countless lives, which angered the Jewish leaders. He didn't think what they believed that he was a threat to their authority. And so they saw him as a threat and slowly began to plot his death. Now, I think we can all agree that any other man would have tried to get out of being nailed to a cross. Some would fight back against his attackers, and some might even beg for mercy, hoping their life would be spared. They would try anything to get out of being killed, but not Jesus. He never tried to resist or escape, even though he had the power to. He accepted his fate and faced the music because he knew sacrificing his life meant that humanity would be saved. How do we know this? Because as life drained from him, Jesus looked up at the sky and with his last breath exclaimed, "It is finished." It didn't just mean that his life was over, but also meant that he had seen everything through till the end and had completed his mission. Some of the Jewish leaders may have thought Jesus didn't show any fear because he wanted to be a martyr to the cause. My own belief is that he left this earth willingly because of one reason: his love for us. He loves all of us for who we are, and that is what he was trying to teach us all along. If we want to be more like him and be given blessings from God, we must always do the right thing and face the music. We must always tell the truth and not stay silent. I'd like to close with this final thought. I know you're all thinking, he's ending early, time for lunch soon. I sure am anyway. The team martyr has been used a lot in the history of the church, usually to describe someone that was killed because of their religious views. In recent times, terrorist organizations have kidnapped Christian missionaries and leaders and gave them two options: convert to Islam or whatever faith they are part of, or die. They could have given up their beliefs in order to avoid execution, but many didn't because their loyalty and love for God could never be destroyed. Their bond connecting them and their Savior would not be severed. And so they died as martyrs for the church. Steve has talked a few times about what it means to be a servant of the Lord. And I can't think of a better example than that. Truly those that died for the name of Jesus and are servants that paid the ultimate price. Friends, always remember to do the right thing in life, even when it seems like a difficult choice. God is always watching, and every good deed brings a smile to his face. Let's be better servants and face the music together, for that is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. You'll feel better doing it, and so will he. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
That is done now as we sing, "Are You Able?" Page 530. Verses 1, 3, and 4. Let us stand.
Longer?
Yes, it was.